Fishing win.
As Rachel is passing out a handout here, obviously there has been a lot of discussion around the Reitz Lake fish limits, the change in regulations during the open period, and then the change in regulations during the closed period to the public or the open by permission only period. I want to be very clear to folks that that are listening in and also the commission that these fish regulations, they're social. They weren't biologically determined by any biologists within game fish and parks. They are not recommendations by biologists. I want to be very clear on that. These are social considerations, terms and conditions set by the landowner, and I just want to make sure that is clear on the record. Now, to further dive into some of the questions that I've been receiving over the last 30 days, a lot of them has been about how much monetary investment we have within Reitz Lake. You know, since the boat ramp and the dock, and how many fish have we stocked in Reitz Lake. So what we did here is we put together a summary of kind of overall expenditures, if you will, that have been really spent on Reitz Lake. And you'll see the first item there we call fish management research and surveys. We have spent a lot of time researching this lake. We have spent a lot of time surveying this lake, and we have spent a lot of time doing creel surveys and harvest surveys, and you can see the total there over the last 16 years has been roughly around $123,000. $123,000. And that includes staff time, survey time, just a lot of boots on the ground type work to collect data, to continue making sure Reitz Lake was managed efficiently and correctly during the time Reitz Lake was open to the public. This has been a discussion point, the fish stocking efforts. You know, there's been a lot of misinformation out there regarding how much money we have spent on fish stocking when it comes to Reitz Lake. And we have stocked Reitz Lake twice with walleyes. And to my recollection, it's been 2002 and 2003. Those were the 2 years we stocked Reitz Lake with walleyes. Our walleye stocking records indicate we have spent $4,200 on fish stocking within Reitz Lake. That is very minimal if you compare that to other lakes stocked. I was just talking about Spirit Lake. We stocked Spirit Lake in 2011, 14, 15, and 16. We haven't stocked Reitz Lake very often, hardly at all, for that matter. Access development and maintenance. You know, there's been some expenditures on road access development and maintenance. There's been some expenditures on boat ramp and dock developments and repair. And there's also been some expenditures on general site maintenance. You know, the snow removal, the trash removal, the mowing, the weed spraying of that access area of the boat launch area. That equates over the last 16 years to approximately $77,000. Okay. The last payment here, the last expenditure payment that we quantified was the lease agreement. It was to my knowledge, the lease agreement has been $500 annually, which did not limit access. It was open 12 months of year, and that was a $500 payment to the Reitz family to allow us to have a boat ramp, to allow us to have a dock, to allow us to have an access road on their property to access Reitz Lake. That was $500 annually. The total expenditures there are right around $212,000. Now again, the fish stocking, $4,200 of that $212,000. So we look at, you know, somewhat of the return on investment from 2001 to 2016. Average annual angler use hours, we quantified that, and we approximate on average about 16,930 hours on an annual basis have been spent on Reitz Lake. That's equivalent to about 4,000 angler use days. That's an average. Across the years, we had creel survey data. We didn't have data for every single year, but we had a lot of data for Reitz Lake. We creeled Reitz Lake quite often. It comes out, if you're looking at the number of, or the cost per angler use day, it's about $3.33. If you look at the total expenditures. You know, and if you look at the number of angler use days Reitz Lake has provided over the last 16 years, comes out to about 64,000. There's been a lot of recreational opportunities on Reitz Lake over the last 16 years, and we thank the Reitz family for allowing that recreational opportunity. We surely do. And there's some other information there below, but I just wanted to make sure folks were informed about, you know, what type of expenditures Game Fish and Parks has spent on Reitz Lake and somewhat of the return on investment. Reitz Lake is a high destination fishery, a high use fishery, one of our highest. It has a phenomenal fish population in it. There are a lot of folks that love fishing Reitz Lake. Now, to get into more of the the length or the fish limits, the length restrictions, you know, to my knowledge, the one walleye over 28 inches has been in place for all 16 of those years. That one walleye over 28 inches, again, has not changed since 2002, to my knowledge. And that has been in the books for quite some time. And that was a request brought forward at the time with the landowner as well, that one walleye over 28 inches. Our staff did some experimental regulations, looked at how that might have impacted the fishery, and some interesting things came out of it. You know, research at Reitz Lake has found that a high-density walleye population of quality-sized fish can produce and maintain, can be maintained with a 28-inch minimum length limit. And as a result of that, the regulation that was in, when was put in place on Reitz Lake then became part of the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks walleye toolbox. I mean, that is a tool in our toolbox that we are contemplating putting on other fisheries potentially. I'm not saying we're proposing anything soon, but it is in our toolbox as a tool that our fisheries biologists might use or could use. So the other fish limits, one yellow perch, one black crappie, one bluegill, those were put in place, terms and conditions set by the landowner. And that, again, applies only to the 5 months of use when that water body is open to the public. The statewide regulations then would apply from October 1st to April 30th. And the proposal, again, in front of you would remove the largemouth and smallmouth bass regulation on Reitz Lake. So currently on Reitz Lake, there is an 18-inch minimum where only one largemouth and smallmouth bass less than 14 inches in length or 18 inches or greater in length may be taken, and of the largemouth and smallmouth bass taken daily, no more than one may be 18 inches or greater in length. So that would be struck out, if you will, with this, with the passage of this proposal. Obviously, there has been a lot of discussion, and I'm sure there's some questions you all have for me to answer. So I'll take questions at this time.
Go ahead, Mary.
Commissioner Boyd, with your permission, I have two questions. One, to begin with, getting to this proposal obviously wasn't a simple process. Could you briefly outline kind of the high points of the back and forth discussion and how we got to this?
Yes, absolutely, Commissioner Boyd. You're exactly right. There's been quite a lot of discussion with Game Fish and Parks and the Reitz family. I believe five personal visits have occurred from, you know, around March till now. I've spent some time in the Northeast. You know, the first, you're familiar with that matrix that was introduced to the commission back in September. The highest payment amount on that matrix was $4,800 for a 10-year lease agreement. And we always, in the back of our minds, were thinking about Reitz Lake, because that has been the golden star, closed non-meandered water, if you will. And we presented that offer, and it was counter-offered, and it was counter-offered with the amount of money that is currently on the table of $2 an acre per month, which equates to 5 months of use, which then equates to $8,000, so $1,600 per month. And if it's open for 5 months, that'd be approximately $8,000 because it's an 800-acre basin. So that would kind of be the first step, the counteroffer. There's been discussions regarding the period when it was open to have the fish regulations where they're at, you know, the one walleye over 28 inches. Game Fish and Parks asked the landowners numerous times, to leave that regulation in place for year-round. But at the end of the day, those fish and that water belongs to the public, and we wanted the public to have the opportunity to say if the agreement should or should not move forward. So we move forward with proposing the agreement with the regulation change, and we understand there are definitely some concerns out there. There's no doubt there's concerns. Everybody in this room knows the concerns. I'm very in tune with what the sportsmen and women of this state are thinking, as are you. But again, we have 140,000 resident anglers in South Dakota that want to fish. We have 80,000 non-resident anglers that fish on an annual basis. Almost 220,000 anglers that come to South Dakota or live in South Dakota that want to fish. That's a lot of folks that want to fish. And the department is committed to provide recreational opportunity, and those 5 months would be doing so. The regulation change is not something it's hard for us to stomach that as well. I'll say that. But the opportunity we'd lose if it was closed, and I cannot speak for the landowner, but I am pretty certain that water body would be closed 12 months a year. I'm almost positive of that if this proposal does not move forward. So that's what we have to weigh here today, is the regulation change for 5 months of use versus having it closed 12 months of the year. And there has been a lot of back and forth discussions to answer your question, Commissioner Boyd. But further questions on that?
Mr. Chairman. Go ahead, Scott.
Commissioner Phillips here. Just, we've got a lot of numbers here, a lot of numbers to look at, and a lot of work went into this. You just said 140,000 resident anglers. Not talking about the non-resident anglers. 140,000 resident anglers, and the payment is $8,000 a year. You just negotiated a deal that made it possible for 8,000 resident anglers to fish for between 5 and 6 cents each. I think that's a pretty good deal you made. I think that's okay. You can negotiate for me anytime if you can open up a lake for between 5 and 6 cents per angler. So good job.
Any other comments, questions? Thank you, Commissioner Phillips.
Maybe speak a little to the idea that it is a precedent, that we're setting precedents here.
Yes, absolutely, and that's been something that's been repeatedly brought up in the public comments, the testimony, the fear that we are setting a precedent. You know, I have spoken with a lot of different landowners, and I'll be honest with you, there has been no other discussions regarding payment to date beside this agreement that you see in front of you. There hasn't been. There hasn't been any discussion, regarding compensation. I can't say that there wouldn't be in the future, but the current discussions I'm having with landowners about future agreements do not pertain to money. So that precedent setting regarding the payment, $2 an acre per month is very similar to what we offer with our walk-in area program. $10 an acre would be the total payment for 5 months of use. We do have walk-in areas that we pay over $10 an acre on, and I could argue pretty easily the fact that Reitz Lake will see more use in most of our walk-in areas. There'll be more boaters and more fishermen on Reitz Lake than there would be hunters on a walk-in area. Not all walk-ins, but the vast majority of them. So as far as the payment side of things go, the precedents, I don't believe there needs to be a real concern there. Because if there was a time where we had to offer a landowner a payment in that regard, we'd really consider the amount of use that water body currently receives. We'd consider the fishery potential and the use of that fishery. So there are some things that we as a department most definitely are going to take into account before we say, okay, we'll move forward with that proposal. And those two things, the use and just the fishery status of Reitz Lake, set Reitz Lake apart from other non-meandered water bodies that are closed or could be closed. One other thing that's very unique about Reitz Lake is the entire basin of Reitz Lake, with the exception of a few acres on the northwest corner, are entirely owned by one family. There's only one other family right now I'm working with that owns the, well, I can't even say that because there is another landowner on that water body as well. So there are very few, if any, water bodies that are entirely owned by one family, which does make things a little bit unique because I know there's landowners sitting on the commission and sometimes you don't always agree with your neighbor. So those discussions do happen. And when we get all the neighbors around the table, sometimes the discussions get a little more lively. So regarding the precedent setting of the regulation change, and that's the elephant in the room, I'll say it, and I'm not going to hide behind it. You know, Reitz Lake, it's definitely a unique water body where there is a substantial amount of recreational opportunity because there is a substantial fish population in Reitz Lake. There is. So the precedent, is there another water body out there that has that high use or has that good a potential as a fishery that's currently closed or could be closed? Looking, you know, down the road, there could be. Fisheries are very cyclical. They're boom or bust. They're good 5 years or 10 years in a row, then they can go bad. But right now, we don't see that. I mean, right now, Reitz Lake is kind of a standalone, if you will, currently. Now, that was in 2016 was our last data set. We haven't stocked Reitz Lake, you know, since 2002 and 3. If this proposal was to move forward and those regulation changes were accepted, we would not plan to stock Reitz Lake. It's a one-year agreement. I know there's concern that if we were to move forward with this, we'd spend more money and invest more time and effort into Reitz Lake. With a one-year agreement, it would be hard to do that. And I don't think our staff would prioritize that as something we would do. So to assure folks, if this proposal were to be finalized, I'm pretty certain there would be no stocking expenditure spent on Reitz Lake at this time. You know, and as far as the regulation changes pertaining to other landowners, and I'll be honest with you, when it comes to these talks with the landowner, you know, if I'm a sportsman or woman knocking on, let's say, Commissioner Phillips' door, and I ask him to go fish his stock dam, and he tells me, yeah, you can go fish my stock dam, but you can only keep bluegills over 10 inches. Or sure, you can go hunt deer that, you know, but you can only shoot a doe type thing. And that's some of the discussion that I hear and I have with these landowners. So I want to be palms up, open and transparent as I can be. And that's where they're coming from. And that's where this conversation, this proposal has led us. And the precedents, it's hard to look in the crystal ball, it really is. But right now I don't see very many more of these coming up. I really don't.
Kathy.
Mr. Chairman, as Kevin has shared with us, I just want to remind us here today why we're working on this. I'm going to just read a couple parts of the law that you shared with us, South Dakota Codified Law 4123. The department on behalf of the state may negotiate with each landowner to acquire by gift, grant, device, purchase, lease or license, recreational use of all or a portion of any non-meandered lake overlying private property. It further states that this gives the department the opportunity to negotiate with landowners on specific terms and conditions set by the landowner to ensure recreational opportunities are not lost and continue for the 140,000 plus resident anglers that enjoy fishing in South Dakota. The department has the obligation to implement SDCL 4123, and it's our goal to continue providing recreational opportunities to families and outdoor enthusiasts who enjoy South Dakota's great resources. This being said, the department has worked with the Reitz family, and this is what is being brought forward. We are directed by SDCL 4123 to bring back these outdoor opportunities. This is a one-year agreement, and I'm feeling that I can support it to go forward to get the opportunity back for our outdoor enthusiasts and the local businesses that will benefit from the business these outdoor enthusiasts bring to them.
It's good to hear that law because it clearly states that.
And that's why I asked Kevin to share that with us.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Peterson.
The Reitz family has been gracious in working on this issue and very, you know, complimentary really to Game Fish and Parks and the hunters, and they want opportunity there for people to be able to do this. And so I think, I know there's opposition, but in light of our goal to present, keep opportunity open to fishermen, and it's just, I think, a winner for everybody to go forward with this. And as you stated, it's a one-year agreement that we can look at again, so it's not cast in stone. Are there other comments?
I'd have one. Russ. Go ahead, him first.
Russ.
It's usually bad juju to make a comment after the chairman seems to hold conversation, but I want to commend you, first of all, the negotiation process and the price. I mean, we had this thing way undervalued for many, many years, and that was one of the first things I started doing the math on back when we found out what we were paying before. I thought it was terribly undervalued. And to get it for $8,000 right now, I mean, if commercial fishing were allowed, I can tell you I'd have four rangers on that lake and in 3.5 days pay for that lease myself and make bank for the rest of the summer. But but it isn't, thankfully, and it won't be. But, you know, there's a principled argument with the precedents changing action that's going to take place here that just won't allow me to support it. And I'm not going to sit here and bash on it, because I really do think you did a great job putting this together, and at the price that it's at, it's worth it 12 months a year. If they weren't shutting it down, I'd easily support this if we could do it 12 months a year at that price. It's not the price, it's the principle of access. So thank you again for your work and everybody else's work. They did it, especially the commissioners that have been meeting with these landowners. It's not easy having these conversations, so thanks.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Olson.
I have one more comment, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Phillips. As far as the landowners changing the regulations, as you said, that's been going on for a long, long time. Landowners can change the regulations a little bit. If someone knocks on my door with a antlerless deer license, I always let them hunt, but I always say whitetails only. Now, I've changed the state regulation on my own private property, but I think that's proper to do. I think landowners have been adjusting the state regulations for years. See nothing wrong with it. If I want more whitetails killed than mule deer does, somebody has an antlerless tag, I think it's correct to say whitetail only, or, you know, doe only, or whatever. I don't see a problem with landowners changing the regulations a little bit.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
One thing I forgot to mention, and I appreciate those comments, Commissioner Phillips, the fact that when it is closed, commercialization is prohibited. Therefore, that landowner, those landowners could not receive any financial compensation. It would be a class one misdemeanor, actually, I believe, and that would prevent them from receiving any financial compensation when that water body is closed for those 7 months. And they're well aware of that. We've had numerous discussions regarding that, but I failed to mention that, and that has been another thing that has been floating around, and people are misinformed about. The Reitz family would not be able to receive any compensation during that closed period.
From what I understand, the compensation they do receive is going to be donated?
Yes, Commissioner Jensen, thank you for mentioning that. The Reitz family has brought to my attention that they are willing, or are going to, if this agreement were to move forward, they're going to donate or plan to donate the entire $8,000 to, I believe, the Webster School District, the Athletic Association there, and that would be their plan. I can't speak for them directly, but that is what they have told me, that they would be willing and are willing to donate all $8,000 of that payment to the Webster Athletic Association or School District.
Okay, thank you. Okay, what's the wishes of the commission?
I'll second.
OK, Okay, moved and seconded that we approve this agreement. Any other comments? All in favor would say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? No. Got one.
Just photocopy that sheet and have it read.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Barry Jensen?
Aye.
Okay, it passes. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Okay.
This was one part of the agreement, so now we have to go back to the Reitz family and these regulations would not take effect here until the agreement is signed. So fishing is not open tomorrow on Reitz Lake. I just want to make people aware of that the fishing, this access point would not be open until the agreement is signed by both parties. And then we will make sure to inform the public when that occurs. We'll be working with the Reitz family soon, very soon, on getting this done. So I just wanted to make sure that was set on the record that the lake's not open tomorrow just because this was approved today. So with that, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. All right, that concludes that portion.